All right, it's a little low. That's better. That's better. All right, thank you, Christopher. All right, as you can tell by the for sale sign, we are in the process of moving from Southside. We are moving the central location of ministry for us as a church from this physical building to our homes and our neighborhoods. So our mission statement is on the wall behind me, and it reads, "Because of Jesus, we seek the lost, embrace the hurting, equip the saved, and celebrate God's grace." And we've been focusing on the first part of that statement, seek the lost. If someone were to ask me today what they could do to seek the lost, I would simply encourage them to love their neighbors, literally. 2 weeks ago, I asked us to answer this very simple question, who is my neighbor? It sounds like a simple question, but it's an important one for us to take time to answer. Because to love your neighbor, it helps to actually know their names. And so the first step in this move of ministry into our neighborhoods is to actually learn our neighbors' names. And so that was the challenge 2 weeks ago. It's the transition of going from "Hey, bro," to "Hey, Joe." I mean, although it's nice to wave and say "Hey, bro," to someone, it means a great deal more when we're able to actually speak the name of our neighbor. Now, when I work my weekly shift at Trader Joe's, I always appreciate the customers who call me by my name. And if you think about it, it's really one of the smallest amounts of effort that can be made for such a high relational return. I mean, and we make it really easy for people by wearing name tags. You know, all someone has to do is glance down at my name tag and then speak my name in the course of our conversation. It only happens once or twice in an eight-hour shift, but there are those who glance at my name tag and call me by name. It requires very little effort. You know, it usually ends with, "Have a great day, Barrett," or "Thank you for your help, Barrett." But it's always those customers who I remember at the end of my day, those that spoke my name. And so I think there's something very important about learning our neighbors' names as we strive to be a people who love our neighbors literally. And so I hope you've made some progress in learning your neighbors' names. Obviously, I'm sure you probably already knew some of the names of your neighbors before I started preaching this series, but I know there's some that you don't know. And I want to encourage you to learn their names. And if you've not started this process yet, that's okay. You can get started today. Like, that's the beauty of this. My family has started the process, but admittedly, it's been a little bit slow. I took my oldest on some college visits last weekend, and basketball season has started. And it's easy to get busy doing other things, right? So I want to encourage you to do this with me this week, to go from "Hey, bro," to "Hey, Joe" with one of your neighbors. All right? Let's do that. We're going to have that. It's going to be a congregation-wide exercise. A neighbor in your neighborhood that you don't know their name, that you've waved to as you've passed them by, you know them as "Hey, bro." We're going to make that transition together this week. We're going to go from "Hey, bro," to "Hey, Joe." There's one. I already know which one I'm going to do. There's an older gentleman, and Zach and Caitlin live on our street, and they may know this guy's name, so don't tell me, because they live a little bit closer to him. My wife may know this guy's name. I don't know, but don't tell me. But there's this older gentleman who lives up at the top of our street, and he has this little tiny yippy dog. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, those little yippy dogs. And JP and I will see him at the weight room in the mornings when we go work out. And every time I see him, I say, "Hey, neighbor." I've done that for 3 years. I promise. I'm like, "Hey, neighbor." And I need to know his name. It's been 3 years of Hey Neighbor. And so I'm going to make that transition this week. First thing I get up here next week, I'm going to tell you what his name is. And so I just want to encourage you to join me in that this week, to go to make that transition from Hey Bro to Hey Joe. I gave everyone 2 weeks ago also a block map for you to begin filling out with three pieces of information about every one that lives on your street. And if you recall, it's something factual, which is just a name, you know, what they do for a living, something relational, something about that person that you could not see standing from your driveway. So something relational that comes only from some conversation that could happen with that person. And then something meaningful, something about that person that comes through actually building a relationship with that person that you wouldn't know without having been invited into their lives. And so perhaps you've gotten started on that even over the last 2 weeks. Again, it's been a little slow at our house, but I want to encourage all of us to get to work on those. Karen put up the block map on the backside of our front door, and so it's a reminder every day as we head out to get to know our neighbors better. This week, I printed out a Google map of our street. You can print out some pretty awesome maps of your street. We live on Flint Ridge Drive, which I just call the Ridge. I don't think anyone else on our street calls it that, but I'm hoping that it'll stick. And so I printed out a Google map of these houses on our street, and there's 27 houses. So there's 20 on Flint Ridge Drive and then 7 on Flint Ridge Circle. And the mission for my family is to just simply fill out this block map with this information, factual, relational, and meaningful information about those who live on our street. A neighbor who lives 4 houses up from ours was out walking his dog just a couple of days ago, and JP, my oldest son, was in the front yard, and he's mowed this neighbor's grass a couple of times for him, and so this neighbor stopped, and they got into a conversation for a few minutes. And after the conversation, JP came into the house and walked up to me and said, "Danny's dog's name is Applesauce." And so he was pleased to have learned this new piece of information that we could put on our block map. And so we went and put it on the map. So that's the encouragement. And I just want to include your entire family in this. In this opportunity of getting to know our neighbors in order to love them. In 2015, I spent the majority of the year preaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the main takeaways from the time that we spent in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 was the message that we are blessed to be a blessing. And with that in mind, I've titled the message this morning, "Blessed to be a Neighbor." We're blessed to be a neighbor. And the plan is very simple. Because we are blessed, we are going to bless our neighbors. Literally the same ones who live next door to us, whose names we are now learning. Now, because the word bless is at best ambiguous and at worst just really vague, I think it's important to talk practically about what it means to bless our neighbors. And so that's what we're going to do over these next 5 weeks together. We're going to talk about 5 very practical ways that we can go about blessing our neighbors. And they spell out the word bless. All right, I'll try to make it as easy as possible. And so the first one, this very practical way that we're going to look at today and going about blessing our neighbors begins with the letter B. And here it is. It's begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. I've collected a lot of stories and kind of jokes about preachers and ministers through the years. And one of the ones that I've collected happens to be about prayer, and it's one of my favorites. And so I wanted to share it with you this morning. So as often happens, people come by a church building and want to talk to the preacher. And so that's what happened to this preacher one day. A guy came by the building and wanted to talk to the preacher. And so it just so happened this guy's name was Bubba. And he wanted to set up a meeting with the preacher. And so the preacher walked down and started talking with Bubba. And it ends up that Bubba needed the preacher to pray for him. He said, "I need you to pray for my hearing." And so the preacher put his hands on Bubba's ears, and he prayed. And he prayed fervently for his hearing. And when he was done, he asked, "So how's your hearing?" And Bubba said, "I don't know. It isn't until next Tuesday." A little miscommunication there. But traditionally, Christians pray before a meal, right? We pray before an event. We pray before a hearing. And the same is true for this mission of neighboring. We're going to begin this move to our doing ministry in our neighborhoods with prayer. That's where we want to begin, is to begin with prayer. This comes from this idea, this thought. It comes for me personally from a really important evangelism principle that I was taught when I was in college. When I interned in campus ministry and when I was a student as part of a campus ministry at the University of Georgia, both our preaching minister and our campus minister there were both highly evangelistic people, very gifted evangelists. And they really taught me this principle, and it's an important one. I think it helps give the proper perspective to evangelism. And here's the principle. It says, they used to teach me that I want to talk to God about my neighbor before I talk to my neighbor about God. And even, they would also say it, I want to talk to God about my neighbor more than I want to talk to my neighbor about God. And I really like that. And that's why this very first step, this very first kind of practical step in this movement to love our neighbors is to begin with prayer. So instead of feeling an urgency to speak to my neighbor on God's behalf, I want us to feel an urgency to speak to God on my neighbor's behalf. And that's where it begins. It begins with prayer. And what happens, what we find when we pray for someone else, it changes the dynamic of our relationship with them. We may be just getting to know them, just learning their names. Maybe all we know is the house that they live in. But when we begin praying for someone, it changes the dynamic of our relationship with them. I was with a fellow dad this past week, and he was sharing with me about a very difficult relationship that his son was having with one of his friends. And so the son had asked the dad to pray for this friend, not to pray for his relationship with that friend. And I really like that. He emphasized to his dad, I don't want us to pray for my relationship with this friend. That's bad. I just want us to pray for this friend. And as the son and dad have committed to praying for this young man, things have been improving in that relationship because, according to the dad, and I quote, "You can't dislike someone you're praying for every day." And there's some real wisdom and truth to his statement. And that's why I think it's important for us to begin with prayer. As we're entering into our neighborhoods, as we're learning our neighbors' names, as we're learning how to love our neighbors literally, we want to begin with prayer and let that prayer, that daily prayer for our neighbors, begin to form and transform our relationships with those people. So we begin with prayer, but what do we pray? And that's where I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning. What do we pray? Well, I asked Christopher to share the Lord's Prayer with us this morning for a reason, because that's what I want us to pray. That's why I want to encourage us as a church family to pray for our neighborhoods, is to pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, perhaps you've never used the Lord's Prayer in an evangelistic kind of prayer sort of way, but it actually makes for a wonderful prayer to commit to praying for our neighborhoods. I made a practice when we lived in Georgia to get up every Sunday morning and prayer walk our neighborhood praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, for some reason, when we moved to Kentucky, I left that practice in a box and it got put up in an attic. And so I'm looking forward to getting it down and making this a practice again. The reason why I suggest the Lord's Prayer for us to pray for our neighborhood is because of Jesus' choice of pronouns. A prayer that begins with our makes for a good neighborhood prayer. So as you pray the very first word of his prayer, you're reminded that you're not praying for yourself. You're praying for a community of people. Our. I love that the Lord's Prayer begins with our. I really think that our must become the dominant pronoun of our prayer vocabulary. If you read any of the recent studies done by sociologists, sociologists like to point out that our Western culture is becoming more and more individualized. At some point in the not too distant past, we made the choice to leave authentic, connected community, and instead we've become a very individualized society. And we close our garage doors as soon as we drive into our garage. And we fence in our backyards. And we huddle in our high-tech homes, in our highly individualized society, and we've left community altogether. And with a single pronoun, our, Christ calls us out of our homes and into our neighborhoods. Christ reminds us that we must never go before God alone, requesting that only my desires and my needs be met. Christ calls us to always go before God as a representative of the community. There's a wonderful image in the Old Testament. We find it in the Old Testament prophets, in Ezekiel mainly, but there's this wonderful image of the watchman. And the watchman is the one that'll be up during the hours of the night as a representative of the people, keeping watch over the city, praying to God. I love that Old Testament image, and I love that idea of being called to be a representative of our neighborhood, to be a watchman. And this is the call, to become a representative of our neighborhood and pray two simple prayers based upon the Lord's Prayer. That God will be known in your neighborhood, and that God will be shown in your neighborhood. Those are the two prayers. That God will be known and that God will be shown. The first prayer is that God will be known in our neighborhoods. My favorite part of the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus addresses his prayer to our Father. I love this because with this address, we learn that it's Jesus' desire for God to not just be his Father. He's not keeping them all selfishly to himself, but to also be our Father. And I have that same desire for the neighbors who live on my street, for God to not just be my Father, but to also be our Father. One of my favorite neighborhood stories that I've shared several years ago, but want to share it again this morning, is a story about our next-door neighbors that live on this side of us, the Logstons. They've got two boys, and their youngest one is Chuck, who is a sophomore this year in high school, but this has been several years ago, right after he would have been in elementary school and after they moved in next door to us. And our front yards connect with one another, and so we were meeting for the very first time out in the front yard. And we had just returned from Ethiopia with William. And so we were kind of introducing the crew and the kids, and we introduced him to William, and you know, we had just returned from Ethiopia where we adopted William, and so we were getting to know everybody. And as we were talking, our cat, Stormy, just kind of walked around the corner. And it hadn't been too long where we had just gotten Stormy as well. The Limitas, who had been a family here, the Limitas moved from Lexington to Missouri to help with the Whetstone Boys Ranch. And didn't want to take a cat all the way to Missouri, and so they left their cat, Stormy, with us. Stormy's been a great cat, but Karen, as she introduced, we were introducing the kids, and as she introduced Stormy, she said, "And here's Stormy. This is this cat that we have adopted as well." And I'll never forget, Chuck looked up, his eyes got real big, and he's like, "Man, you guys adopt everyone." Adopt William and Stormy. And this... And I love that story because this, with those words, they declare the heart of God for your neighborhood. The heart of God for your neighborhood is to adopt everyone. Everyone on your street. Every last neighbor into his family. He wants everyone on that street to know him as Father. And so that's this first prayer, is that God will be known as Father in our neighborhoods. As I've prayed this for neighborhoods through the years, I pray specifically that his name, that his kingdom, that his will be known in our neighborhood as it is in heaven. And as a watchman or as a representative of the neighborhood, I want to invite his character, I want to invite his kingdom, I want to invite his will to come and live in our neighborhood. It's to make the very last prayer of the Bible in Revelation 22, "Come, Lord Jesus," a reality in our neighborhood. Come, Lord Jesus. May your name and your character and your kingdom and your will come on Flint Ridge Drive as it is in heaven. Remember when I was doing this weekly as a prayer walk for the little neighborhood in Georgia, I used to walk to the front of the entrance of our neighborhood, and I would symbolically throw open the gates to our neighborhood and invite the Lord to come into our neighborhood in order to make himself known. So that's the first prayer, is that God will be known in our neighborhoods. And the second prayer is that God will be shown in our neighborhoods. You know, similar to the pronoun "our" at the beginning of the prayer, there are these requests that we find in the Lord's Prayer with the pronoun "us." Give us, forgive us, lead us. It's not me, it's us. And this choice of the pronoun "us" in these requests also calls me to move from focusing only on my needs and forces me to always pray this with the needs of my neighbor in mind. Give us, forgive us, lead us. And listen, our neighborhoods are full of hungry and broken and lost people. The hungry need daily bread, the broken need forgiveness, the lost need direction, and so we're praying for the physical needs, the relational needs, and the spiritual needs of our neighbors. That's the emphasis of those three: the physical needs, the relational needs, and the spiritual needs of our neighbors. And I'm you know, just with 27 houses on our street, Flint Ridge Drive, I guarantee you that there are physical needs. There's people struggling with cancer. There's health issues. There may be someone who's having a hard time making ends meet and maybe not even being able to pay the monthly rent, the monthly house payment. There are physical needs that we can bring before the Lord and ask the Lord to show himself on behalf of our neighbors. There are relational needs. There are struggling marriages. There are strained relationships between parents and children. There's all kinds of relational needs on our street. And then there are spiritual needs. There are those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we want to go on behalf as a representative of our neighborhood and pray for these needs, these physical, these relational, and these spiritual needs, that God will be shown in these ways in our neighborhood. So it begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. And as we conclude this morning, I want us to conclude with prayer for our neighborhoods. And so I'm going to lead us in that prayer. I'm going to be praying with Flint Ridge Drive. I'm just call it Flint Ridge because I don't want to leave out the circle. I'm going to call it the Ridge. I'm going to call it Flint Ridge. And where I might say Flint Ridge in my prayer, I want you to say your neighborhood or your street. And let's begin this neighboring movement this morning with prayer. Let us go before God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, may you be known on Flint Ridge Drive as you are in heaven. May you be known as Father. May you be known as Father on Flint Ridge Drive and Circle on Flint Ridge. May you be known as Abba. May you be known as the Father who desires, his greatest desire is to adopt every one of them into your family as your children, as sons and daughters of yours. May your name be known. May your name be known so well that it's on the lips of those on Flint Ridge. Lord, may your character be seen in the actions of those on Flint Ridge. May your kingdom reign in the hearts of those on Flint Ridge. May your will be done, Lord, in the homes of those who live on Flint Ridge. And may you be shown on Flint Ridge as you are in heaven. We want you to be known, Father, and we pray also that you'll be shown. Show yourself, Lord, as provider. Care for the physical needs of our neighbors. Show yourself as healer. Lord, relationships are broken, and we ask, Lord, that you will reconcile broken relationships. And show yourself as deliverer. Turn our neighbors from temptations. Help them to overcome the evil one. And Lord, ultimately, may each and every one of the neighbors on our street be shown your power to save them from their sins. Lord, the kingdom and the power and the glory all belong to you. Flint Ridge belongs to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the invitation is for anyone here who doesn't know Christ. You know, I've been around long enough to know that just because someone's in this room doesn't mean that they know Christ. And so my prayer this morning is for anyone here that doesn't know Christ. My prayer is that the Lord will show himself to you. Show himself to you as healer of your soul, as reconciler of your sin, as provider for you on the cross through his son Jesus, so that you may have eternal life with him. If you want to respond to the gospel message this day and put your faith in Christ and baptism, we'd love for you to be a part of that. There's also going to be people in the back to pray for you. Let's stand together and sing.